Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can also reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. By the way, you can listen to us 98.1 FM and 107.5 HD3. In the meantime, we are giving away $200 in slot play to Sasquatch Casino up in Blackhawk. First four callers are going to get $50 each. If you have won in the past, you are not eligible to win again. And while you're up there, you can see how you can win a Ford Mustang RTR on Father's Day, Sunday, June 20th. And if you don't want it, you'll get nearly $23,000 in cash instead. First four callers, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Okay, according to ESPN Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez, it's, quote, not very likely that Vegas is in the mix for Aaron Rodgers, he writes. But while it is not known if the Raiders have had internal discussions on potentially acquiring Rodgers, discussing him publicly could be construed as tampering. This much is true. Las Vegas' offense is built around Derek Carr. And as a source told ESPN.com, Gruden is very happy with Carr, and Las Vegas has retooled the defense too, in effect, to give Carr some help. With that, I don't know how much better their defense is. I know their offensive line doesn't look like what it did last year because of salary cap concerns. I talked to somebody who covers the Raiders as well, and he doesn't think salary cap-wise it would work for the Raiders to pick up Aaron Rodgers. I think they're only $8 million over the cap. And then you throw in, if the Packers want a player or two, who are they going to give up besides Darren Waller?
Yeah, and that's the guy that they really don't want to give up. The Raiders are kind of in purgatory right now when it comes to the salary cap. They don't have a lot of wiggle room, according to the latest daily report that the NFL PA puts out. The Raiders at this moment have $5.97 million of cap space, and obviously, if the top 51 rule, where only the top 51 contracts count in the offseason, but still, you get the rookies in there, they're going to be down at about $3 million. And the other interesting thing with the Raiders is they don't have a lot of contracts that they can shed and create some cap savings. Like we talked about, for example, if the Broncos needed to create some space, Bryce Callahan's contract could create $7 million of cap space. Even though they're sitting there with the second highest available cap space in the league right now, the Raiders, the only contract that can create space is Derek Carr. Yeah. So if they trade for Aaron Rodgers, obviously Derek Carr would be going back in the deal. But even that, they create $19.625 million. That wouldn't cover everything the Raiders need to make the mathematics work. So they're kind of stuck right now. If they wanted Aaron Rodgers, they'd have to basically go to a lot of players and start converting salary to bonuses and kicking it the can down the road a year. That's the only way they could pull it off.
Now, Rodgers, as we have talked about, he doesn't have a no-trade clause. You would think that could be a problem, but actually you can make the case it's an advantage for the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Because if the reports are true, he actually wants to come here. He wants to come here for a lot of reasons. One, good young talent on the offensive side of the ball. And his fiance spends a lot of time in Boulder, and he wants to go out west. With that, I can see Carolina wanting to be interested, but that's going the wrong direction. I can see Miami wanting to be a part of it, but again, that's going the wrong direction.
New York Giants too, same thing.
You know what this reminds me of? The Carmelo Anthony situation. It was just the Knicks. That was it. That's who Masai Ujiri was dealing with. I believe it was Masai.
It was a Masai trade.
I believe it was a Masai dealing with the Knicks at that time.
Melo and Lala wanted to go to New York.
And so now, if Rodgers only wants to go to Denver, if the Raiders can't do it or they're just not interested, you can make the case the Broncos could have some leverage here.
Yeah. I mean, they could be effectively bidding against themselves if Rodgers says, I only want to be in Denver. Because here's the thing. Even though there's not a no-trade clause, no team in their right mind is going to offer any kind of deal for Aaron Rodgers. The draft and player capital required to get him. No team is going to offer that deal unless they know he's coming. And if Aaron Rodgers says it's Denver or nowhere else, then effectively he has a no-trade clause without having a no-trade clause.
If you're George Payton and you believe that you are the only suitor, how much do you really walk the line with the Packers and try and call their bluff that they're the only, talking about the Broncos, are the only team in contention? Because you don't want this. Hold on, let me finish. They're already upset enough with Aaron Rodgers. At George Payton, you don't want to start pissing off the Packers too. Because then it's like fighting a war on two fronts for the Packers. And they're going to be like, you know what? Then retire.
You don't push but so far. You accept that it's going to be a fair deal. But a fair deal still means you're giving up a heck of a lot. Because you're talking about a future Hall of Fame player who believes he has 4 to 5 years left in him, at least.
Tom Brady believes he can play till 50.
Right. You think Aaron Rodgers isn't looking at every step Tom Brady is taking and saying, I can do that too.
No, I can't. He's not winning like another six Super Bowls.
Well, I'm talking about how long he wants to go. Like how long he wants to play. If Brady goes to 47, I think Aaron Rodgers believes he's going to go to 47 too.
I think that Aaron Rodgers has a long way to go to get to 43.
Yeah.
Like Secretariat at the Belmont, that's how far ahead Tom Brady is in terms of age, Super Bowl rings, and still being able to play.
Well, the reality is he's probably not going to get to the Super Bowl rings of Tom Brady. Now, if he did, then probably Broncos country would be the happiest place in the NFL.
Right.
Because that would mean going on a run that made you literally the team of the 2020s. But that is unlikely. I mean, the reality is, if you get Aaron Rodgers and he's your quarterback for 4 or 5 years and you win the Super Bowl once, then you got what you wanted. It was a successful era if you're adding a fourth trophy to that case.
Aaron Rodgers will be 38 before the playoffs begin.
Yeah.
So he still has another, once he turns 38, he still has another 5 years to go to be where Brady is at right now.
Right.
That's a long time away.
It's an eternity. I mean, basically you're talking about changing. Think about like how much changes in the NFL on a year-to-year basis. You're basically talking about swapping out yet another generation of players time.
Here's something that I haven't heard anybody talk about. Okay. Mm-hmm. No one has talked about this. So let's say for the sake of argument, Aaron Rodgers comes here and he will be 38 in December of this year before the playoffs begin. Mm-hmm. If you're George Payton, when do you draft a quarterback?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Because the Broncos under John Elway drafted a quarterback with Manning on the roster in his first season.
Here's what I think you do. I think the problem is you communicate first, but it's also when you draft the quarterback that matters. I think if you tell him that as a franchise, we're going to go the old, sorry about that, we're going to go the old Ron Wolf Green Bay route of the 1990s when they had Brett Favre. Remember, they would add a quarterback every year, late round or sometimes undrafted, and you just say, we're going to keep cycling guys to potentially be backups. And they pick Matt Flynn, for example, and Brian Brohm the year that Aaron Rodgers became the starting quarterback. Brohm flamed out. Matt Flynn ended up having, as far as a lottery ticket quarterback goes, Matt Flynn had a decent career as far as those type of players go. And I think you just say, that's what we're going to bring in. You consciously say you're not picking a quarterback in rounds 1, 2, or 3. And you tell him this, that, okay, you know what? I'm George Payton. I like to have a lot of darts, and especially in the late rounds. And I'm going to toss some darts at some quarterbacks and just to see if they can develop and continue churning down there. But we're not going to use a high pick on a quarterback. You're the guy. I think that's the line you end up walking. And I think that would probably be acceptable to Aaron Rodgers if they're bringing in a six-round quarterback on an annual or semi or biannual basis rather than using premium draft capital to bring in that guy you're developing.
CBSSports.com did an interesting article. You want to explain it briefly because we're going to be talking about this next?
Yeah, it talks about just how players benefited or were hurt by what their teams did in the NFL draft. But what is interesting is that CBS Sports says that two of the players helped most by what teams did in the draft were helped by the Broncos draft, but only one of them is actually a Denver Bronco right now.
That is one hell of a tease.
We'll get into that on the other side.
I'm sticking around for that because you know why? Because I have to.
Well, I appreciate that, but that you're doing now of obligation, but we hope you'll stick around as well because you're not obligated. This is after.
Don't say that. You are obligated. You have to stick around.
Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, milehighsports.com. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a new steel. Viva
Las Vegas.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, guys, I want to talk to you about something that's uncomfortable to talk about, and you're probably thinking, how in the world is this happening to me? I am talking about erectile dysfunction. It is common for men. It's embarrassing. It's frustrating. The question is, what are you doing about it? Well, my suggestion is this. Go to Revive Performance for Men. They specialize in ED. They use Gainswave therapy, and this has the ability to be a permanent solution. No more pills. And I don't even want to think about those shots. Remember, Gainswave therapy has the ability to be a permanent solution. Your significant other, she probably doesn't even want to bring up the topic to you because she knows how embarrassed you are. Well, do it for her. Do it for yourself and get in contact with Revive Performance for Men. Check them out online at rpm-colorado.com. That's rpm-colorado.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
Okay, we have some major breaking news right now. Now, I'll be very honest. Mace, I have never heard of this Twitter handle. I've never heard of them. It's called ESPN Upstate. Have you ever heard of them?
ESPN Upstate, I believe, is out of upstate South Carolina. I have actually been on. I've been on their show from time to time.
Well, okay, let me tell you what they're reporting. They're reporting that Deshaun Watson could be playing this upcoming season, and he is reportedly settling with his accusers, which essentially, in the court of a public opinion, you are admitting guilt.
Yes.
But if he's going to settle, we'll see what the NFL does. And now Deshaun Watson could be on the market again.
He could, but if he is settling with accusers and if this does lead to suspension, if there is a suspension, then in all likelihood, he is guilty of something.
I agree.
And
what's he going to get? 8 games tops?
Yeah. I mean, it's just for a team that acquired him, it's just what kind of fallout would they want to deal with?
Let me ask you, let's say Aaron Rodgers isn't even in the picture and it's going to cost you 3 first round draft picks to get Deshaun Watson. Are you trading 3 first round draft picks at his age and his talent, knowing you're going to miss him for 8 games?
Well, it's not a question of missing him. It's a question of do you want to deal with all the headaches and PR nightmares that are going to come? They're probably going to come with bringing in Deshaun Watson.
Would you? Of course you would.
From a football perspective, yes. But do you want to deal? Do you want to deal with having protests at your games in all likelihood? This is something where it would be for any team that brings in Deshaun Watson, if they trade for him, it would be an ownership decision, not a football decision. That's an owner decision.
I got you. So would you make the trade?
I would be inclined not to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm not saying that I would do it and I wouldn't do it, and I understand the PR nightmare. Fortunately for the Broncos, they have great PR people. They'd wheel him out there immediately and say, here you go. Answer what you need to, just like what happened with Von Miller when he failed his drug test. And obviously, this is much bigger than
this. This is a lot bigger than that. That's the thing. Von Miller is just himself.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand that. But at the end of the day, the Broncos are the type of organization that handles this stuff the right way.
Yes, they are.
Okay. And yes, there'd be a lot of people who are upset. And I get that. But I'm sorry, 2 years from now, people will forget, especially if they're winning divisions and going deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take for people to stop mentioning Ben Roethlisberger's stuff? I mean, it still pops up from time to time, but not very often, right? And he served a four or six game suspension? Was it 11 years ago?
How many Super Bowls has he won?
None since then.
Okay. He still won two Super Bowls.
In the past, yes, before that.
I think fans could care less as long as you win.
Now,
generally speaking.
Yeah. They could care less as long as you win. Now, the thing that is also interesting is there's a different dynamic. By the time all that stuff hit the fan with Roethlisberger, he had already played six seasons for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So he had built up a certain level of equity in that fan base. The team that took on Deshaun Watson, that he would not have that sort of equity built up with that team's fans. He would have to go... I mean, to say above and beyond probably doesn't even begin to describe it. The other thing is, just settling is not going to be enough. He's going to have to be candid about certain things and be candid, and he is going to have to walk a straight and narrow path as few have in order to make up for this.
Well, maybe if he joins the Broncos, Greek will give him massages, and then we won't have to worry about it. How's that sound?
Wow.
Maybe that's part of the contract. Oh, Danny, let me ask you. Would you want Deshaun Watson on this team if he settled? As a fan?
Yeah, sure.
See?
He's a great football player.
There you go. And I think that is 90% of the sentiment.
Oh, I'm sure that is, because it's about winning and losing at this level, and I get that. If I were an owner, if it was my cash, my hill, my beans, I would be skeptical based on the stuff that's out there. And again, the fact that he's settling, you know, what is he admitting to in this? And this is where the NFL will probably have
an investigation. There's going to be an NDA.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to be talked about. They're not going to be, they're going to accept their money, whatever the settlement is. There's going to be a non-disclosure agreement. He's not going to say anything, and I don't know what he can say. It depends on what his attorney tells him he can say. But everybody knows if he settles, you're guilty in the court of public opinion. No question. You don't even have to say anything. You've just admitted guilt when you settle.
Basically, that's what it is.
And yes.
And even though sometimes you'll hear like, well, no, just you're paying this money to make it go away and all that, but if you were completely innocent, then
he's not innocent. That's why he's settling.
Yeah.
But if he came out and said, you know what? I've made some mistakes. I was wrong in some of the things that I did, and I've learned from my mistakes. This will not happen again. And I sincerely apologize to anybody who was hurt in this. I feel terrible about this, and this will not happen again.
Let me finish.
And if he says, even though you can make the case, this is who I am. That's who I was. This is not how I'm going to be moving forward. And I hope everyone will forgive me. And if he says that, you want him on your team? Aha! All he has to do is get with a crisis management counselor and say that, and boom, everything is forgotten and forgiven.
That's where, if I'm an owner, I'm like, I'd kind of prefer the guy who doesn't come with that type of baggage. The other thing I was going to say is, like, for him, if you're going to do that, I think you want to do that in the most public environment imaginable. I would tell him, I'd say, you may want to do a no filter, no holds barred interview with, say, Oprah Winfrey. We both thought of the same person, sure. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I'm serious.
Oprah's not the right person.
Well,
because this isn't a national story that way. It's a sports story.
It's a sports story, right. but when you're talking about a prominent quarterback, it is something that crosses over
into
the cultural zeitgeist.
You could do it on ESPN, or you can go to HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. Soledad O'Brien can do the interview. You can have another female reporter do the interview.
It does need to be with a female reporter.
And by the way, if he does settle, this will be done while he is still a member of the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
And if it is done while he is there, then as the owner, then you look at it and say, is this guy full of it? Or maybe he's going to change his life. That's how you, in theory, you can make your decision.
Well, that's a...
So if he comes off as
Cal McNair, I'm not sure about the calls that Cal McNair is making.
Listen, when you look at the draft and free agency, it looks to me like the Texans have already made plans to move on.
Look
what they've done.
They signed somebody who can get them through the season in Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
And their first pick, even though it wasn't until round three,
yep.
And it's in that 1-7 range of finding a viable long-term quarterback,
yep.
It was Davis Mills. And
yep.
Yeah, so, they've prepared for
life without him. Right.
But also, by only investing a third-round pick, they haven't done anything that would prevent them from taking Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell
of course.
Early next year.
So how good are you really going to be with Tyrod Taylor? And you're probably not going to be very good.
You just went 4-12 with Deshaun Watson. Think about that for a moment.
Correct.
And Watson had objectively a great season last year, right. And they went 4-12.
Right. So you trade him, get what you can, get that headache off the books, get 3 first-round draft picks. He's no longer your part of your organization. You're going to be bad enough probably to have a top-5 pick. I mean, this is as obvious of a move that the Texans should make as any obvious move in the history of the league.
Yes, but will the Texans dig in? I would say probably. Before everything happened, I would say yes, they would have dug in. I think.
But
now,
see, now they have an excuse.
Yeah.
But now they have an excuse. Before it was, Deshaun Watson said, I don't want to play there anymore. I don't like the organization.
Now it's like, we want to get this guy out of our building.
Exactly.
Because of everything
that happened. So now, the words plausible deniability aren't attributable to this. But you can say, well, now, you know what? You don't want us. And you were a problem. Now we have a reason not to want you, and we can trade you with a full conscience. And people in Houston won't say, I mean, they'll say, hey, you traded Deshaun Watson. I get it. But people will understand it. Now they have an excuse to trade him. Whereas before, they were kind of over a barrel where Deshaun Watson was saying, I don't want to play her anymore. And if the Texans trade him, they look weak. Now they're in a position of strength by saying, this guy molested, allegedly, all of these massage therapists, and we don't want this type of character around our building.
Now
give me 3 first-round draft picks.
Now, and I'll say it, let me put it to you this way as well. Broncos, I think, clearly in the quarterback market, wouldn't we say?
Sure.
Who would you rather trade for, Watson or Rodgers?
Watson.
Because he's younger.
Yeah, wouldn't you? It's going to cost you 1 extra first-round pick. If you're going to give up 2 for Rodgers... That's a whole nother conversation.
I need more information than I have right now.
Sure.
Right. Well, based on what the information we have right now,
yep.
It's Rodgers, easily, no question.
Yep.
But if we get more information, if we learn more and it's in Deshaun Watson's favor, then I think the scales tip because he is a decade younger.
Carolina is going to be in the mix, And as you and I have talked about for months, their owner, David Tepper, would be willing to give up 4 first-round picks if he was allowed to do it.
He would, but at the same time, there are also enough people that have been in that organization for some experiences that they've had with even going back to Ray Carruth in the 1990s.
No, that was a long time
ago. Greg Hardy in the last decade.
Right.
It's an organization that I would say is a little, in terms of character issues, it's a little bit scarred, and they may think twice before they do it. I would actually say if Carolina traded for him, that would be a positive sign for Deshaun Watson, because then they would have some assurances that they're not dealing with the kind of PR nightmare that has jumped up and bitten them about every decade or so in their history.
Coming up after the break, I have no interest in going to a Raiders game in Vegas. But after the news today, I would love to go to Allegiant Stadium to watch a game, because they are doing something so stinking cool, it is revolutionary. That's next.
Thanks to you, I'm much obliged. Such a pleasant stay.
The Black Rides.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. You can also listen to the show 98.1 FM 107.5 HD3. Our friend Benjamin Albright is reporting on Twitter that the report that we just talked about for a full segment about Deshaun Watson settling is not true.
Said Watson not trying to settle despite reports, and of course that report coming from the ESPN radio affiliate in upstate South Carolina, which of course is the ESPN radio affiliate that is right near Clemson.
Right.
Which is where Deshaun Watson went to school, which is why something coming from out of there
right.
was interesting, because it's a backyard story for them.
All right, time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
So if you decide to fly out to see the Broncos against the Raiders this year in Vegas, I highly recommend you listen to what we're about to talk about. Allegiant Stadium and Wynn Resorts have struck a partnership where the North End Zone will be the home of the Wynn Field Club. This is going to be an 11,000-square-foot nightclub. The new club on game day will have premium bottle service, 2 DJ booths that will feature acts from the Wynn's DJ roster, 42 televisions, a 9-foot by 35-foot LED screen, and a 45,000-watt sound system. There have been a lot of great attractions at ballparks. The swimming pool, where the Diamondbacks play.
Jaguar Stadium as well has pools that can see the field.
At Coors Field, you have the party deck. I remember when I used to go to Braves games in the late 1990s when I lived in Atlanta, that essentially was a party deck. Mm-hmm. But this thing at Allegiant Stadium, man, they have taken this to a whole new level.
Yeah. I mean, is anyone there going to actually watch the game?
Well, it's going to be window dressing.
Yeah, I mean you might look at the game, but I mean the DJ is going to be spinning during the game, right? I mean,
yeah, but
is that kind of the presumption here?
I've been trying to find this out. I don't know if they could be spinning during
unless it's sealed off and to where you can't hear.
Yeah, I mean, are they going to have plexiglass where it's soundproof?
I mean,
because that wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah, otherwise...
I can't imagine.
Otherwise, the DJ be spinning before the game and after the game and during timeouts and halftime,
right.
but not...
Right.
But if it's open,
yeah,
then because of the rules that the NFL has on pre-snap stuff coming from the PA systems and so forth, that DJ would have to cool it when a team, once a team broke the huddle.
Yeah, I just don't know when that DJ is going to be spinning. With that, would you want to be in that atmosphere? I know that you are a club guy, and that's KLUB.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my speed. I'm not even sure it would have been my speed even when I was younger. I go for the game. Something like a pool, like the pools in Jacksonville. I've been by them. I haven't been in them, but I've been by them. The cool thing about those swing pools in Jacksonville is you can be in the pool and then you get a position. You can watch the entire game in the pool. And I got to tell you, the ability to watch a football game while swimming and just kind of lean, you know, put your arms on the railing and look over and watch a Jaguar Bronco game, that sounds freaking awesome. This, I'm a little cooler on it, but it's just we all different strokes for different folks.
You're not in the club scene?
I wasn't really even in the club scene when I was younger, let alone now that I'm in my mid-40s.
Well, I'm not into the club scene either, but I have connections in Vegas, and I'm not even trying to sound boastful. I have connections
People
in Vegas.
Know me.
No, I'm being serious. I can get into
good
any,
drop, Danny.
I can
you.
Get into any club in Vegas and get right to the front of the line. Because if you go to Vegas, you need to have really good connections.
Yeah. And I'm that guy. Deal.
I'm not a big deal.
I don't have a Vegas connections, but
you do now.
What I'm saying, because
you know me.
Okay, fine. Then maybe when I go cover the game in Vegas this year, you should make that trip. We'll go together. I'll be happy to be.
You
want to
go clubbing with me?
Not really. No.
Okay. So why would I go to Vegas with you?
I want
to. What do you play when you go to Vegas?
Blackjack at the tables.
Yeah.
Not never at the machines. I think the machines can be manipulated too easily.
You know what? Why do I have?
I am low stakes blackjack at the tables.
Why do I have a feeling, knowing you, and knowing certain talents that you have, that you could probably count cards pretty easily?
The problem is you have to look like you're not counting cards, and that's where I run into some difficulty.
That's not true.
But
No, that's not true.
I can play, but
no,
I've,
that's
I've,
not true.
I'm very good at playing the odds to
that,
where
that's not true.
I don't lose a lot of money.
No, see, actually, I would respectfully disagree. And we have talked about this on air. You've been very public about this on Twitter. Yeah. You are on the spectrum.
I am, yes.
Okay? And one thing about being on the spectrum is you don't make eye contact. We've been doing the show together for over a year. I noticed that right away.
Yeah. And that's why I told you about it, because I it's kind of a thing of saying, all right, I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm engaged. I just may not be looking you in the eye very often.
So if you are counting cards,
yes,
naturally you wouldn't be looking around anyway. So how would they know? Unless you had a buzzer on your thigh.
Because maybe I'm just like looking down at the table and looking at all the cards instead of looking at the dealer, that it might freak them out. I don't know.
You know what? You are my rain man. You and I are going to Vegas together.
The beautiful
We're getting
thing,
the rain man suite. Yeah, getting the rain man suite. Me and you.
The beautiful
You are Raymond. I will be Tom Cruise. We're going to come down the escalator in tuxedos.
Oh my gosh.
And we're going to make some money.
Ray, let's play some cards.
About $100.
Yeah, but.
Judge Wapner.
Yeah, I wasn't really into Judge Wapner.
73 toothpicks. Now that's I wish
I could count toothpicks like that. That would be a great skill to have,
wouldn't it? Great bar trick, huh?
Oh my gosh, that's one thing. I'm not that far on the spectrum, so I don't possess that. But right. The thing about blackjack is this: right. I mean, if you understand that the odds change with every card that's dealt, and you're conscious of them, you can set yourself up to where you're not going to lose money if you play long enough. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I enjoy doing it, because I don't want to lose money. I just like doing it. And the other thing is with blackjack in particular, remember the old Atari 2600?
No.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I never played video games as a kid.
Well, it was big when you were a kid.
Okay.
We had one of those in our house. One of the games we had was blackjack. So if you can picture me sitting there with my little Atari paddle at age 6 playing video blackjack.
Right, right. Okay, here we go. I'm going to find this out really quickly before we decide to book tickets together to Vegas. Uh-huh. Okay? You have a 16. Dealer showing 7. Are you hitting? You have
a
16. Dealer is showing a 7. Are you hitting?
I am.
The fact you have to think about it, we're not going to Vegas together.
Yeah, there
you absolutely
is.
Hit.
I have to see what
you have to assume that they have a 10 under. You're sitting with a 16, six deck shoe. We're not going. If anything, I'm your Rain Man.
Well, I was also thinking about what everyone else at the table had. But
doesn't matter what they have at the table. Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, I'm
unless you're counting cards.
Well, but yes, I am.
As he says sheepishly.
Yes, I am hitting on.
You have
16
to hit on that
if the dealer has seven. Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. The key is consistency, right? Over time, be consistent.
You have a pair of tens. The dealer is showing a nine. Are you hitting?
I am.
Are you splitting tens? Or are you keeping your 20?
I'm splitting my tens.
Oh, my God. You never split tens. Ever. We cannot go to Vegas together. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed? I got to tell you something. You split tens at a table, and the people at the table will tackle you to the ground and tell you never to come back.
It's part of the reason why I do it.
Oh, my goodness. You would split tens? Danny, you know not to split tens.
I have heard that before, but sometimes I like to be a contrarian.
And the people at the table would say you just ruined the whole shoe.
That's okay. I'm only concerned about me.
Of course you are.
Coming up on Just In Case You Missed It, the transfer portal has been pretty active in both college basketball and college football of late. A big-time recruit is leaving a pretty large program to go to one that may or may not be a national champion, depending on how you look at it. We'll talk about that. Also, another team that might be moving out of Oakland. That's next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the Oakland Athletics are going to start exploring the possibility of relocation with the blessing of the MLB. What are some of the top destinations you think they might land in? Did we already talk about them when we talked about expansion earlier?
Vegas, Vegas, and more Vegas, because they are anticipating the. I was talking to somebody out in Vegas just a couple of days ago, and they're planning on building a sports complex out there right next to where the Raiders play. They're planning on building a baseball stadium and a basketball stadium. I think that's where they're being targeted.
So there's already a hockey arena, and they do play basketball in there from time to time. There's a college game played over the T-Mobile Arena. They're going to build another arena in Vegas? Wow.
That's what I was told. Yeah. They're looking to make it a sports complex.
Well, I mean, Vegas has probably it's probably the most painless thing from an MLB perspective, and also just because of the money that's into it. They are the overwhelming favorite. There are other viable markets. We talk about Charlotte, we talk about Nashville, we talk about Portland, but Vegas just appears to be ahead of the game on this bend. But then, like you said, the question becomes, how do you get people to come visit Vegas to watch their favorite teams in the summertime when it's 109 degrees outside? It has to be an enclosed stadium, right? Has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, because the average temperature in Vegas is 104 degrees in July.
Yeah, you're not playing that open air there.
Yeah, probably something like the Texas Rangers have, just maybe a little more aesthetically pleasing. down there in Vegas.
Yes.
Just in case you missed it, Notre Dame Fighting Irish receiver Jordan Johnson is transferring to University of Central Florida. He'll join first-year coach down there, Gus Malzahn. He's the number six receiver in the ESPN 300 class of 2020. Does this signal anything about the UCF program for someone from such a big school like Notre Dame, a storied football program, to be transferring down there to play for the Knights?
I mean, I don't think it does anything except shows that you have somebody who wasn't happy about what his role was potentially going to be in Notre Dame's offense and looks at a Gus Malzahn offense. It's going to give him opportunities, I think. It's not really something that is going to be... I don't think you're going to see a wave of guys going to UCF all of a sudden from basically top 10 programs just because of this. I think this is kind of a situational thing. It's going to allow Johnson to get a lot of opportunities to show his stuff.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. And that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it is hail season. And here's the deal, man. Your roof's going to get damaged. So I'd highly recommend you go with Masterpiece Roofing, recently voted Denver's best roofing company. Call for a free roof inspection today. See how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof just in case it gets damaged by hail, whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding. Let them turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. Quick programming note. A friend of the show, Jay Cornegay. He sets all the odds at Westgate Casino out in Vegas. He's going to join us on the show tomorrow at 5:15 to talk about the Broncos' schedule. We should have some of those games probably pretty locked up. It's going to probably leak out through the day. But also, what would the Broncos look like with Aaron Rodgers? How would that affect the odds in Vegas? Jay's going to tell us all about that tomorrow. Nolan, great job on MileHighSports.com. Danny, terrific job on 98.1 FM. Mace, great job on both. I was awful on both. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can.
I should be sleeping like a love. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel.